We've got someone with us now. I've been really keen to get on the show for ages and ages. We all know him now in Liverpool. He's had an incredible couple of years, certainly the past few months. And there was one photo from his gig at the Guild on Saturday that to me just kind of summed up what everyone's been waiting for, the return of live music. I'm talking about Liverpool's very own Jamie Webster. How are we, Jamie?
I'm great, Jay. Thanks very much for having me on.
Mate, Saturday, that gig that you did at the Guild, you could see in your face on stage how much you've been waiting for a crowd, for a sellout gig like that. It must have been amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously, we had a tour booked, and I think the headline gig was the O2 Academy, and obviously going into lockdown, it got rescheduled, and then by that time, I'd released a few more tunes, and the album was on its way, so it was, we moved up from the O2 Academy to the Guild without even playing it, and that's sort of when the Guild went on sale, the extra 1,500 tickets, they went in a day, and to have 2,500 of my own sort of cheering me on at my first headline back with the band since releasing the album, you know, to a full capacity gig. Like, it was just unbelievable. I've played a lot of gigs and I've been to a lot of gigs, you know what I mean? And I've never quite felt an atmosphere like it. I'm obviously going to say that because it was my gig, but even just, honestly, the crowd, just you could just see it in them. And for me, as soon as I stepped out onto the stage, before I'd even pick my guitar up, I just remember running onto the stage and addressing the crowd and just screaming from the top of my lungs and beating my chest and pumping my fist in the air just to let them know how happy I was to be in front of them. And they didn't let me down. And honestly, you could just feel it. It was just euphoric from the front of the room to the back to the balconies. It was just, honestly, everyone who was in there will know. And if you've seen the videos, you know, they sort of speak for themselves. The pictures and the videos,
it was just amazing, mate. Yeah. Are you still kind of in that kind of pinch yourself period, Jamie? Because the past 18 months, mate, you know, since you'd done the telly last year and you played This Place after the match and stuff, things have really stepped up a notch for you. Are you still thinking every day, my God, what's going on here? This is mad.
It's sort of like, obviously, when you're at them moments, like obviously just before the album come out, This Place, the Premier League wanted This Place to go around on Sky and everything for when we lifted the trophy. And that was like when that happened, like it done everything for the album campaign and just for me profile in general, you know what I mean? It was sort of a worldwide thing, and it was an amazing sort of, you know, Liverpool. I'd never seen Liverpool win the league, and to sort of have a song that it's not a football song, it was an original song, to have one of my own songs that I'd written from the heart about, like the place that I've grew up in and the people that I love, to sort of be played alongside my team winning the Premier League for the very first time. It was like, there was a pinch me moment to like speaking to my dad after it, because like I've been working for online with Standard Chartered right leading up to the end of the game. So I didn't know that it was going on Sky. I thought it was on BT. So when I got into the pub to watch it with my mates who I followed, you know, Liverpool with around the country for years, when I got into the pub, I just seen myself on the telly and I didn't know that I was on Sky. I thought it was going on BeIN Sports and stuff like that. And then after it all died down, I spoke to my dad, because my dad and my mum, we all didn't know. It was luckily that we were all watching it in different places, sort of like, and it come on. But I looked at my phone like a couple of hours later and I had a message from Alex at the Premier League who said, Sky have just took it, and that was about an hour before it come on. So it was a boss moment. And obviously the album coming out and charting in the top 10 and getting a first ever UK number one folk chart and position and stuff like that, it was great. But it's been bittersweet, because all I've wanted to do is do what I've done on Saturday. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And feel it. And that's where you feel it. You know what I mean? That's when it really hits home that, like, you know, this is great.
And hopefully now, mate, there'll be many more of them. We'll talk about what's coming up, because you've got loads on the way, including a brand new album. I'm going to play This Place now, though, if you don't mind. This, to me, I've played it a few times on this show. It makes me feel proud when I listen to it. And it just makes you instantly think of great city of ours. Is that what you wanted when you made this song, Jamie? Did you want people to feel that pride in Liverpool?
Yeah, definitely in Liverpool. I wanted everyone to, you know, to know how lucky we are to come from such an unbelievable place and what great people we've got around us. But also for people outside of Liverpool, it was sort of a relationship to them to say, well, yeah, obviously he's singing about Liverpool, but for me, you know, it could be a lad in Glasgow. You know, Glasgow's my home, and I feel that way about where I come from. It's a calling to everyone to just be proud of where you're from, and you know that it's made you who you are today. And you know, whatever you've been through, it's consequential of where you've been. And for me, that's Liverpool. And for a lot of us, that's Liverpool. And yeah, so I'm just made up that, like, people in the city from the red and blue side, you know, Molly McCann's made it clear that she, you know, she loves that song. And she's, I think she's getting some of the lyrics tattooed on herself. I'm not too sure if she's gone through with it, but she was toying with the idea of it. So, you know, she's a big blue. And just, it's nice that people from both sides have seen it for what it is. And that's like a song about our city.
We'll talk about the red and blue thing next, but let's get the song on. And anyone listening right now, if you haven't heard it, I'm sure you have, just turn the radio up and listen to the lyrics of this incredible tune. It's Jamie Webster, This Place on In Demand Radio. Goosebumps all round. Incredible tune, This Place, by the one and only Jamie Webster. Jamie, what's it like playing that live in Liverpool, mate? Like the likes of Saturday. There must be goosebumps for you as well.
Oh, like ridiculous. I normally end these sets with Weekend in Paradise, except when I'm playing in Liverpool, because that's, you know, to end with that, my city, my people, my heart, over and over, and seeing, you know, like on Saturday, 2,500 people screaming it back to you, absolutely, like, beaming with pride. You know, some people were nearly in tears. I was nearly in tears on stage. It was just, it's an unbelievable moment every time I play it to a Liverpool crowd, you know what I mean? It just... It's that when I play that song live, it's what I writ. When I was writing the song, I see what I saw in the head when I writ it, if that makes sense. So yeah, yeah. I remember actually I finished writing that song in an hotel room in America when I was on tour with Liverpool, and it was the My City, My People, My Heart bit. And I was just visualizing everyone back home screaming that to the top of the lungs, and it being like anthemic and euphoric, and, you know, like everyone sort of losing the marbles to it, and just, you know, just being there.
That's
in the moment.
That's what it's done, though, to be fair, hasn't it? And obviously, yeah. Another big Liverpool gig coming up, mate, is a really special one in the city, and it'd be great to see it back. Is Sound City, which you couldn't play last year for obvious reasons. You must be looking forward to getting on stage there.
Yeah, Sound City, as a young music fan in general, do you know what I mean? As a lad, I was in bands when I was 15, 16. We used to go to Sound City and we used to watch all the bands that were on, and I've never actually played it, you know, always been involved with the Liverpool FC side of things. Obviously, Sound City is not football related at all, it's just all music. So obviously to be able to finally play it, and, you know, I've got like the main support slot on the Saturdays, the Red Drum Club in the main venue, and that's it. Like, you know, I haven't even worked the circuits of it, I haven't started off small, I've gone in at the deep end, and I can't wait. It's, like I say, it's something that I'm really proud of that happens in my city every year. I'm buzzing that we have these festivals going on, and, you know, we give all the, our city gives all these young up-and-coming artists a platform in their own, you know, town, and obviously bands from other places, but it's all the eyes are on Liverpool, and I'm made up when it's like that, you know what I mean? And so to be able to play it, and
the lineup as well is incredible. You can check that out on soundcity.com. It's happening in October, so next month. But I think there'll be a lot of people there, mate, just to go and see Jamie Webster, which will be great. You mentioned Molly McCann before. You mentioned the blue and red thing. I wanted to ask you about this because I've got a mate who's a massive blue. And when This Place came out last year, we were in the car, and I said, just listen to this tune. And he said, I can't listen to Jamie Webster, mate. He's Liverpool, he's red. And I was like, just put the song on. Mate, he literally bought your album straight away, and he's obsessed with you now. So you must see that with blues, mustn't you, with Evertonians, because of your links to Liverpool. Is that difficult? And then you kind of persuade them otherwise when you get up on stage.
It has been difficult, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, and I understand the logic of Evertonians, because obviously I'm a big Liverpool fan, and maybe if I'd seen a kid just singing Everton songs to a load of Everton fans after they'd won football matches on my Twitter for years and years and years on end, then if he was doing something different, I probably wouldn't be inclined to be his biggest fan straight away. Do you know what I'm saying? I understand the blue side of it, but having said that, I'm writing songs for I'm writing songs for any working class person in the world. Do you know what I mean? I'm writing songs for normal people like me and you, who've, like, you know, I lived 10 years as an electrician on building sites, stuff like that. I haven't just come fresh as a daisy out of Lipper or nothing like that. I'm a proper person just like them. I've got one of my very best mates is one of the biggest, most staunch Evertonians you'll ever meet. You know what I mean? I've never seen him in a red item of clothing. He has blue fire. He's had blue fire the Christmases on his Christmas tree for as long as I can remember. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and he's my best mate, and he's there supporting, well, one of my best mates, do you know what I mean? And he's there supporting me every week. There's a couple of lads who are like that, actually, not just one, there's two or three of me, very good, who's club, and very, very best mates. One of them, I was his best man for his wedding, you know what I mean? And these are Staunch Blues, and they realised that, obviously, my mates, but the songs I'm singing, they're not just exclusive to Liverpool fans, they're inclusive to absolutely everyone. But more and more that I'm getting into it, and the more that I speak to Blues and Blues take the time to listen to it, I can see the crossover happening. Yeah. Obviously, we're not quite there yet. There's still a lot of Blues out there who will have that attitude that you may face that, like, I'm not listening to him, he's a cop, he's red, he's this, that, the other. But that's just one side of what I do, and they're completely separate things. Do you know what I mean? And,
It'd be great to see you play. And imagine one derby day in the future to see you opening the game, maybe, and seeing both sides just going nuts for it, which could happen. It's starting to happen, as you say.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be. I couldn't see it now, but you know, you never know. I'd love to, you know, that's, to me, that's the chance to play to 50,000-60,000 people again. I'd love to do that, you know what I mean?
Jamie, Liverpool musicians, Liverpool music, it's such a big deal. And I know you must have your idols and your bands and your singers that you look up to. Tell us about some of them and some of the musicians that you've met along the way and that you've kind of been inspired by in Liverpool.
Well, obviously, you're gonna start with, like, you know, every young scouser who's picks up a guitar, you're gonna start with the Beatles, aren't you? And the Lars, like, some of the Beatles songs, and There She Goes, like, some of the first tunes that anyone will try and learn on a guitar. Do you know what I mean? So they were like, I'm still right now. I was never the biggest fan of the Beatles, but the older I've got and better of a musician I've got, I realised just how unbelievable those four were. And, you know, they're massive, massive pioneers in the music industry as it was. And they sort of changed the music game for the world. And they're just four scousers, do you know what I mean? So, obviously, the Beatles are massive. The Lars album, John Power and Mavis together, I think it's one of the most formidable partnerships that Liverpool music has ever seen since the Beatles, do you know what I mean? Unbelievable talent. And then John going on to do his cast stuff was a massive influence for me. Songs like Live the Dream. I've obviously met John Power a lot through our Liverpool connection and through other stuff as well. And I've supported cast, you know, on their Christmas gigs that they do in the O2 Academy. And he's just a top fella, and he's a great example of how, like, humble you should be when you go about your day. And, like, he's a proper socialist like myself. He's still got a working class mindset despite all the things that he's done. He's a man of the people, and, like, he's a great role model for every young musician. But then the older I've got, I've delved into, like, Mick Head, who, for me, as a songwriter, I think is so underrated, and I think, like, should be spoken about in the caliber of the likes of Lee Mavers, John Power. And then you're looking at the Coral as well, Jay Skelly. Like, obviously, they're from over the water, but massive Liverpool band still at the same time. Songs like Dreaming of You, In the Morning, the top of the charts for weeks on end, you know, recent years, that stuff that I'm aiming to do now. And Jay's brother Alfie is my manager, along with Dave Pitchalingi. And so, like, Jay Skelly's always been really good to me. He lets me use his rehearsal space for just the top band and unbelievable musicians as well. And their last album got to number two in the charts, which is
great. It's great to see them back, to be fair, isn't it? And
they're back with the band, mate.
So it's really good to see the Coral doing what they do. Obviously, there's a duo at the moment, mate. I asked for a dance song from you, and you literally went straight in. You play Liverpool tomorrow night, funny enough, on the pier head. And it's Camel Fat. You've got a lot of respect for the lads from Camel Fat as well.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, they've been around for years, like, under different, like, names and acts, and they've really, really, like, they're a proper example of what hard work gets you. Do you know what I mean? It's like a tailor, the scouse dream with them too. Do you know what I mean? Because we've got such a big, like, over the last 30 years, the dance scene in Liverpool just grew and grew and grew. And these lads have been there for the most of it. You know what I mean? And you know, they've done good things in the past and got to certain places. And then they've come back to the drawing board, worked at the trade so hard and crafted. And now they're just doing massive gigs all over the world. You know what I mean? Songs are like millions, billions of streams, like just absolutely phenomenal stuff. Like it really is. Like
it's deserved as well, isn't it?
It's deserved. It's so deserved. But I could be so proud that they're from Liverpool, and you know, just seeing what they do and how they inspire all these young DJs knocking about at the minute in the city. It's like, it's proper stuff that, you know what I mean? That's like, that's proper icon status to me, like what they're doing. And even again, they're two, if correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure they're both Blues as well, big Blues.
I think they are, yeah, Mike and Dave. Yeah. I think they are, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, it means nothing to me that in the music world, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it doesn't matter to me what I'm saying. It doesn't mean it means nothing, but to me, they're just two scouts going out and absolutely smashing the life out of it.
Tell us about the new album, your second album. What can we expect from it, mate?
The second album, it's called Moments. It's out in January the 28th. Pre-sale should start the weekend or next week. It's again, it's another slice of real life, do you know what I mean? And stories of working class people and real people who've, some stories of joy, some are sadness and joy. Again, there's a big political aspect in there, obviously, with what we've faced over the last 18 months. There's obviously the lockdown sort of vibe there, but it's not a doom and gloom, depressing album. The music's uplifting. The actual sound of the music is a massive step up from the first album. It's like we've gone big. You know what I mean?
It does feel bigger. To be fair, it feels. I don't want to say more professional because the last album was superb in my opinion, but it's got that kind of, I don't know, little shine to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the first album, look, we knew because of where I come from. I was this rough and ready acoustic singer on the terraces, you know, and to come out with a massive all singing, all dancing, fully polished album as your debut album, it wouldn't have like caught you, but was probably in the first album. It almost had to sound like it come out of my bedroom, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But the second album, you know, I love music. I love proper music. I love bands. I love, you know, I love all different genres of music, and I've got all sorts of different influences from, you know, going from, you know, what you'd normally class as maybe indie to folk to rock and roll to blues to, you know, there's aspects of jazz. There's bits of punk in there, do you know what I mean? I love R&B, I love rap, I love dance music. And I've tried to incorporate that in everything that I've done up to date, you know what I mean? But with this album, we went with a big producer in a big studio. So the studio was Rockfield Studios in South Wales, and that's where Bohemian Rhapsody was done. That's where What's the Story, Morning Glory was done. That's where like some of the biggest records of the world have been done. And we went with a top producer who's platinum record selling music producer with the Manic Street Preachers, and his name David Inger, and he was just, you know, you can't go in with a fella like that to a studio like that and do things by half. Do you know what I mean?
You're nervous going in here?
No, because I've got an unbelievable band behind me.
Yeah,
and they're unbelievable musicians, and I don't mean this like just because I'm trying to pick them up. I like anyone who's in the music industry at whatever level. David Inger looked at them three musicians and were like, "These are unbelievable musicians," and like the record is. Just it's like Jamie Webster 2.0. Do you know what I mean? It's just like it's bigger, it's better. But I'm still, you know, I'm still true to myself in what I'm writing about. I'm still true to the people that I'm writing about in the songs and the lyrics. And that's probably what you're always going to expect with me. You know, it's just it's from the heart. It's heartfelt stuff. It's inspired stuff. It's about real life. It's about real people, and it's about real topics. And you know, it's tales of joy, tales of struggle, and tales of just life. Do you know what I mean? And that's what the album is. Obviously, it's got the lockdown twist in it because of what we've been through, but it's not every song is about the lockdown, and it's not about doom and gloom. It's about how to get out and how to deal with it and how to escape from all that.
Just tell us, what's next? Obviously, we know you're doing Sound City. You've got the album. Where are you seeing yourself now in like 2, 3, 5, 10 years from now?
Well, look, like the tour that I'm going on in November, December, they're all like between 1,000 to 2,000 capacity venues, near enough. And that's unbelievable to be doing that outside the city. But obviously, you know, 2, 3 years' time, I want to be bigger and better than that. So I want to be doing 2,000 and 3,000 venues outside the city. And I genuinely believe that the songs that I've written up to now and the songs that are about to come out
worthy of those crowds, seeing them at those venues. Yeah,
it's been great having you on, really good. We're going to play all this back as well. If you want to listen back to any of Jamie's chat tonight, you can listen back on podcast on online in demandradio.com. Jamie, I wish you the best of luck with everything you've got going on. I've got no doubt you're just going to continue to grow and keep smashing it, mate. So keep doing what you're doing. Before you go, just introduce your brand new single to In Demand Radio, please, mate.
I'm Jamie Webster, and you're listening to Going Out on In Demand Radio.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks very much, Jay.